You know, Barb, during the break, we were talking about Peter before the baptism and Peter after the baptism. Mm-hmm. Give that to us.
Well, we were talking in 5:14 through 16 how people would actually lay in the streets, and when Peter walked by them, actually his shadow, there was such power in Peter through Holy Spirit, and not Peter himself, but because of the Holy Spirit, that people were being healed just by his shadow. And Darren, I remember in Mark how Jesus came to Peter's home, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. She was very sick and ill, and Peter couldn't heal her at that point in his Christian walk. It was Jesus that took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then she served them. But Peter didn't have that power then. And I truly believe that the baptism of Holy Spirit gives us the power and the anointing to, you know, break those yokes and undo all the burdens that people have. It's the baptism of Holy Spirit.
Well, let me just run this by you quickly. And if I go too fast, you stop me and I'll slow down. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about gifts of Holy Spirit. Now, I believe Peter was operating in those gifts, gift of miracles and gift of healing. Mm-hmm. Those are two gifts, and there's also gift of faith. Those are called power gifts. I believe he was receiving through a vocal gift of tongues, prophecy, and interpretation, the power of God to operate in the miracles of God. Okay? And, well, I believe also that he was receiving wisdom, knowledge, counsel through the discernment gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits. Yes. He knew how to pray for these people in a mighty, mighty way because he was hearing the voice of God straight, and he had great confirmation he was hearing it straight, and then he operated likewise.
Yes.
And I believe that's why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you get direction to know, and you get timing, you get counsel, and all of those things, high speed. And that's what we need today.
That's right. We do. We need that. And because Peter's mentioned 57 times, as Darren has told you, we can't possibly talk about every time that Peter is mentioned in the book of Acts. But we're going to skip over to Acts 8. There is a profound meeting here between a man who practices magic and divination, and how he received Jesus as his Savior and is baptized in water. But we'll see here what happens and how Peter uses a spirit of discernment toward this man, Simon. And we see here that in verse 12, I believe, Simon is practicing magic, and then he sees this man with great power in his voice. And when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were being baptized, men and women alike. And verse 13 in Acts 8 says, "And even Simon," now this is Simon the magician, the diviner, "he himself believed." So he's born again, Darren, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, see, here they had been born again. They had received salvation, but they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. So here you see another instance of being saved, but being saved does not mean that you are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now I'm going to slow you down a little bit here. Verse 16 says, "For he," meaning Holy Spirit, "had not yet fallen upon any of them."
Yes.
"They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Yes. That's right. So there is a real difference between being born again and being filled with Holy Spirit.
Okay, now here the transaction continues. Verse 17 of chapter 8 of Acts. "Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money." He said, you know, "I'm going to buy a franchise."
Oh, man.
He said, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." Now, see, this man had just been born again.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's saying, boy, this sounds like a super deal. I want to get in on this. "Therefore," the apostle said, "repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're in the gall of bitterness, in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me.
So here was a man with zeal. He had great zeal. He wanted everything that they had, and yet he was without knowledge. He was ignorant. And Paul many times, Darren says, in the Paul epistles that he has written, I would that ye be not ignorant. And that's why, Darren, we are on the radio 5 days a week, and we are doing this teaching because we don't want our brothers and sisters and friends ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, you talk about a zeal. In Romans 10:2, here's what it says. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge.
Mm.
Now, I believe Simon really had a zeal for God here.
He's
just immature.
Yes, I agree.
But he was getting over into things that he should not have been into. And I'll tell you, the apostle here was saying, hey, let's straighten this out right now. You can't buy this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy this. And there's a gall of bitterness and a bad heart in you. And you better repent right now or you're in trouble.
That's right. You know what? God needed Peter. He needed an A-type man to be able to discern and use the strong words that Peter used towards these people. I believe, Darren, there are too many facilitators that say, oh, you poor thing, you don't know any better. And so, you know, you go on your way and you be warmed and you be fed and we'll see you again sometime. Well, Peter, he hit the nail right on the head here. He got to the source of the problem. He says, you can't continue like this. You are acting as you did before you were born again, and that isn't possible because now you're living a new life. And so he immediately got to the root of the problem, bitterness and iniquity. And he says, you're bound by this iniquity, and I'm sure that after he said, pray to the Lord for me yourselves so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me, I'm sure that they did. And there was deliverance there for Simon.
Well, now, it's like I know that some of our friends and listeners and those that may be listening to this message would say, now, yeah, but they were preachers, they were apostles, they were so on. Why do I need this? Let me tell you, folks, there are so many deceptive spirits operating today. Unfortunately, sometimes in the church, in the body of Christ, you need to know. For example, the next time a new multi-level comes along, do you want to be a part of that?
Mm.
And so many times, these new deals, and I always hear this, well, you know the people that started this company are Christians. Oh, really? Well, how do you know that? Well, that's what they told me. You're not doing your due diligence if you sit down and just buy into that. And I've done that. I can talk about I could give you so many examples where I said, boy, this sounds like a good deal. And I lost so much money and so much time and so many friends. Had I operated in a gift of discernment here and listened to the Lord, listening to him, I would have stayed out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, I'm not saying all multi-levels are bad, but I'll give you that. In every church, there's been great harm through some of these financial deals.
Yes, I agree. I really do, Darren. There's everything been a lot of harm done.
Everything from selling soap suds to gold and silver to condos to whatever, timeshares. I mean, I could go down the line. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been grieved because you've asked me to pray and get you out of the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in those messes. I mean, I can't put anybody else down. I have to point a finger at myself. Had I listened to the Holy Spirit, had I asked, but in many cases I didn't even ask, I went off assuming it was a good deal, and I got whacked.
That's right.
That's why you need to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit operating in your life.
Yes, praise God. And we can practice and we can establish that gift in us. You really can. As you see the gifts operating in you, you can practice and establish and learn more, and those gifts will grow and grow in you. And I believe it's so important, Darren, as in the body of Jesus Christ, that we grow in these gifts.
And you know, Barbara, it's a lot like building up a muscle. If you don't use that muscle, it will atrophy. The same thing with the gifts. You've got to be willing to make mistakes, and you're going to look bad and all that kind of stuff. But you got to get over that fear of man and be used by God.
Absolutely.
And he will use you if you are available.
That's right. Now, in between all this, we're seeing, if you're reading through the book of Acts, you're seeing that Saul is becoming Paul. He's becoming an apostle of Jesus Christ, and men of Jerusalem are learning to appreciate him and get to know him. And so, but we're not talking about Paul in this teaching. We're going on with Peter. And so here in the ninth chapter, Peter's ministry is growing. He's going places. The church is continuing it to increase. More people are finding the Lord. And here in chapter 9, verse 32 through 43, we see Peter performing more miracles by the hand of Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. In verse 32 of chapter 9, now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all these parts, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there was a certain man named Annas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Annas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he arose. Praise God.
This is an awesome story.
It really is. He'd been in bed. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. See, he performed miracles of healing, but the main thing, the main thrust of his ministry here was the salvation of souls. And so everywhere there was a miracle, there were more people saved and born again. Hallelujah. Now in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, who's translated in Greek is called Dorcas. And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it came about at that time she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Now, here it was almost like you would say after the body was embalmed, then they put her in a casket, and here she was lying ready for burial. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him. Now, here they are. They have laid a woman to rest, and they're still going to call Peter. Now, what is this? They've got faith. These men say it is possible that this dear lady can be raised from the dead. And so here we see that they have called Peter, and do not delay to come to us. Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter, even with they sent for him, he came, they had the faith that Peter could raise them up, but he still sent all of them out of the room. Now, do you see here what he was doing? He did not want any doubt, any fear, or unbelief in this room when he was praying for this woman. And what we're telling you here today is when you pray for a serious, major healing here, like cancer or blindness, even death. When you pray for a person, you have to be certain the people you are with are one with you, they're strong in the faith, and there is no fear, doubt, or unbelief. Well, here Peter sent them all out, knelt down and prayed, turning to the body. He spoke to the body. He didn't speak any longer to the Lord. And you will see here a lot of times the prayers that we pray in quietness in our devotional time are not the prayers the disciples prayed when there was healing going on. They spoke directly to the body. They spoke directly to the person. They no longer prayed to God. They were in authority here. They had the gifts of Holy Spirit in operation and the power when he said to that dead body, Tabitha, arise. The power raised her up. She opened her eyes, and he took her by the hand and raised her up. Oh, praise God, Darren. That is a mighty miracle of God.
You know, I appreciate you telling this story because the apostle here took what he had.
Mm.
Now, he had the power. Now, of course, it had been downloaded from Jesus. We could say it that way. It was Jesus' power.
Oh, yes, it was.
But he said, all right, here, now you use this. And you know, in Scripture, it says, as the Father sent me, I send you. Well, now, wait a minute. Well, that means that we better get up and get going, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say it this way. We could pray, he could have prayed like this, oh, Lord, heal this person. But he just used the inventory of Jesus. Now, when you learn to do that, when you learn to say, all right, I have a person here I want to pray for, maybe it's a family member or a friend, or maybe it's myself, and I need to be healed, I'm going to act like I have the power and the anointing for healing and stand in Jesus' place because of what he gave me.
Yeah.
He ordained me and anointed me and sent me forth to do that. Now, what would Jesus do if he were there? Well, he'd extend his hand and pray for that person, and the power of God will go forth from him. Well, now if that same power is given to me, why can't I also do that?
Yes.
And we need to realize to do it in Jesus' time frame. And he didn't heal, pray for people and say, well, you know, in about 3 weeks, that's going to show up. So you hold tight now because you're going to be healed. No, he took care of it on the spot. And many times he dealt with the spirit first. Mm-hmm. And then he dealt with the problem first. Say it that way. Well, what's the problem? Well, spirit of infirmity made the guy sick or made him crippled.
Or spirit of death
or spirit
made
of
the
death.
Woman die.
Right.
Absolutely,
or
yes.
Maybe that spirit of death is tormenting that person or contemplating suicide.
Yes.
Well, bind the cause of that person's infirmity. In this case, it would be a spiritual thing.
Yes.
But it always starts, folks, I tell you, I believe this with all my heart, it starts in the spirit first. That's why you need to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he can discern the spirit world for you. And then you pray accurately.
That's right. Well, you know, in Jesus' teaching, Darren, he only walked 40 miles from his birthplace in Israel. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. And I know there were several people that he helped who were Gentiles, Samaritans, and those. But he mainly came for Israel. Well, Peter was in this ministry where he thought that the teaching was for the Jews. But here in Acts 10, we see more flesh falling off of Peter, and we see more tradition of men being laid to rest, because he was up in the room at noon praying, as is usual with the disciples. They prayed morning, noon, and night. And at noon, he was praying when there was a vision of a sheet being brought down from heaven, dropped down from heaven, and all kinds of creation were in that sheet. And he was hungry, and the voice said from the heavens, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter says, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." Now, he had been a practicing Jew. He had not eaten any animal that had been unholy or unclean according to Old Testament scripture. And again, the voice came to him and said, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." Now, Darren, I don't believe this was so much a matter of the physical meat being consumed here as God instructing him to now minister to the Gentiles. And we see here later on in the chapter, Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile, coming to him and saying, "I had a vision of an angel, and they told me to come to you, Peter." And Peter brought his whole household to the Lord, including Cornelius. He was born again. So I believe this vision of this sheep dropping down with all these animals was not only an indication of no longer the meat not being unholy, but that now, Peter, you can go to those people you called unholy, who are the Gentiles. They're going to receive Holy Spirit now.
Well, those Gentiles are considered dogs.
They were, yes.
And less than human, really. And now here, God's changing all that. But you know, he gave him this vision three times. And it says in verse 16, "And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might behold, behold, the men who had been seen by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate."
So Cornelius sent these men to Peter. And then Peter went with these men to Cornelius' house. What was the thrust of all of this? Salvation again. Not only the man at the gate, beautiful, did we see crowds of people coming to know Jesus Christ because of this wonderful miracle, not only in Joppa and Lydda, but also now here, Peter is going and teaching the Gentiles about Jesus Christ, and Cornelius and his whole household were born again.
Well, now here's what it says in verse 30, and I want to read this. "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, your alms have been remembered before God.'" Now, sometimes I've prayed for people that I knew they were givers, and I knew they were prayers, and it was easier for me to go to God and say, "Now remember, this person gives alms, gives tithe, and he also prays." Then the scripture goes on to say, "Send therefore to Joppa," now this was God's instruction to him through the angel, "and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Now, he had great faith there because of what the angel said, and he had his family and his friends all there waiting for Peter to show up.
That's right.
Now, that takes great faith.
Praise God. It does. It really does. To have your whole family there and waiting for this man who you didn't know what he was going to say exactly, but you knew an angel had said that it was going to be some good news. And sure enough, they were baptized in water and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That is an indication that this gospel of Jesus Christ is for all mankind, as Jesus had commanded them in Acts 1, into all the world, go preach the gospel. Well, Darren, in Acts 12, we see again that Peter is arrested, this time by Herod. And it's a wonderful story about how he's put in chains, bound with two chains, and the guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And here is another example. The angel not only came to Cornelius in Acts 10, but he also came to Peter in Acts 12, and the chains were broken off of him. A light shone in the cell. The angel appeared. The chains fell off of his hands, and the angel said, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And Peter got up and followed the angel, and he went out. And the people, it's fascinating here, because the people had been praying all night for Peter in prison. They were at a household, and he came and knocked on the door, and they didn't even believe it was Peter. Here they were praying for his release, and they didn't believe it was Peter until he came into the midst of them, and they realized it was him.
Now, I believe, Barb, in these days, we're going to see more and more angelic activity.
I do, too.
And one reason that Peter was such a turned-on fireball for God was this. And I've got to go back, Barbara, here to Acts 10:38.
Okay.
You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power.
Okay, 10:38.
10:38.
Right. Okay.
How the Holy Spirit, well, let me back up. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Mm, praise the Lord.
Now, Peter was operating in the same way. He knew that he had been anointed and empowered by Holy Spirit, and he was acting like Jesus. And we see that all the way through this portion of the book of Acts.
Yes, we do. And I'll go back to chapter 10, too. He said, and he was speaking about in verse 43, right after what you were talking about, Darren, "Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, and they were hearing them speaking with tongues, hallelujah, and exalting God. So here are the Gentiles. They're being born again and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit along with the circumcised, which are the Jews.
Now, one thing that encourages me as a teacher of the Word is that when you teach the Word and the anointing, Holy Spirit will fall on people.
Oh, praise God. That's right. The Word never returns void.
And I believe this, that some of you listening right now are sensing that there's a mighty move of the Holy Spirit right where you're listening. Maybe you're in your car, maybe you're at the home, maybe you're at the office with your headset on. The Holy Spirit is there talking to you and knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. Don't turn him away. Invite him in to really baptize your spirit with his spirit. That will enable you and change you. Now, some of you need to be changed, because you know the way things are going for you isn't good. You need a change in your life. Holy Spirit can give you that change.
That's right. We have a two-tape series, Darren Cole. Tongues, turning on the power. It's $14. If you've been kind of skittish about this, if your church has maybe spoken against tongues, or you don't know quite about what it's all about, we recommend this two-tape series for $14. Also, the four-tape series on Holy Spirit. This is a teaching by Darren and me that is going to help you understand your best friend, Holy Spirit, and his participation in your life, both your physical and your spiritual life, and how you're going to gain ground through listening to him direct you and guide you. And this four-tape series is $28. It's called Holy Spirit. That's all you have to ask for. And if you'd like a magazine from us, call us at 1-866-917-7256. We're going to go on with the teaching in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, Darren, dynamic books written by this precious apostle,
exactly, right,
who finally ended up giving his life for Jesus on a cross upside down.
Now, I want to challenge our friends with this, Barb. Many people have said, "I've never seen an angel." Well, why don't you start saying, I want to open my eyes, Lord. Would you let me see into the spirit world? Mm-hmm. You know, I've had angels come and talk to me. It was like a human being, and all of a sudden they were gone. And it wasn't a television commercial. It wasn't an angel with wings, you know, like that thing we see on the 1-800 dial collect or whatever it is. This was a real angel. Came and sat down, and he had a cup of coffee in his hand. He talked to me, and all of a sudden I turned away because the anointing was so strong. And I turned back, and he was gone. And where I was seated outdoor on a patio, there is no way that person, that angel, could have gotten away. Mm-hmm. Now, open up your eyes to the spirit world. And that's one reason we're taking this series on Peter and on the book of Acts. That spirit world is still there.
Yes.
Those angels are still active.
Oh,
God
yes.
is still moving in a supernatural way through the spirit world. So wake up, look up, listen, and expect God to meet you at your point of need.